Kawhi Chidea in for Adora Udoji. Hollywood tries to give us enough multi-million dollar blockbusters to sell all that overpriced popcorn and candy. But what happens when a big-time movie comes from a book that already has a following that may or may not like what they see? John and I are, well, I would say fanboys, but I'm a girl, a fan lady, and love graphic novels like Alan Moore's The Watchmen. It's set in an alternative 1985 where the U.S. is a hair away from nuclear war with the Soviet Union. It launches with the murder of a superhero and veers into questions of how to save the world.
Congress is pushing through some new bill that's going to outlaw masks. Our days are numbered. Till then, it's like you always say, we're society's only protection.
From what?
You kidding me? From themselves.
So we want to ask folks, does this movie really matter to you, or is it just another Hollywood blockbuster? John, what do you think?
Oh, man, I'm so excited about Watchmen. But, of course, I'm kind of a freak. I mean, everybody isn't into this. I mean, there's still people on the street who I say
you're,
Watchmen.
You're holding the comic book. Yeah. Make some flipping noises.
I'm looking at Rorschach. I mean, and, you know, I'll tell you, the quality of this movie doesn't even matter to me. For me, it's kind of like walking into my own daydream that I've been having about Watchmen ever since I bought the book back in the 80s.
All right. Well, with us, we've got Elizabeth Rapp. She writes the blog GeekBeat for Cinematical.com. And like us, she has to wait to see the film. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great. So really, for someone who does not care about this at all, and I mean everything Watchmen, somebody who's sick of seeing smiley faces, doesn't know what people on the subway or, you know, in the bookstores are reading, just give me a couple lines why folks should care.
Well, I think people should care about this one because if you actually hate the comic book movie, if you just can't stand The Dark Knight and Iron Man and some of that, you might actually like this one because it takes apart so many, if you know it comes through right in the movie, the book took apart a lot of the myths that surrounded superheroes and made them very realistic people who had problems and issues and things like that. And so if you go and see it, you might actually enjoy it because it's kind of deconstructs the image of a, you know, happy-go-lucky superhero and also has a lot of political and social relevance to today, even though it's set in a 1985, an alternate 1985. It reflects a post 9/11 world in a really creepy way.
Yeah, it's full of conspiracy theories and conspiracies. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting to me, which I think bears on the relevance of Watchmen, Elizabeth, is that, you know, most comic book characters came directly out of the Depression, where Americans used comic books as a kind of a salve for a whole variety of social ills that they maybe wanted to escape from. The characters in Watchmen are really straight out of the 1980s, are very much post-Depression. They're not like Iron Man or Batman at all.
Oh, exactly. And it's kind of funny because one of the biggest problems with that I've had trying to explain Watchmen to people is, you know, you give them the book and they're like, well, I don't get what was so shocking about it in the 80s. And it's like, well, because this wasn't done yet. You know, superheroes were nice people. And, yeah, Alan Moore comes along and has them breaking people's fingers and, you know, having weird sexual issues and things like that. It's a very 80s thing and yet a very modern thing that people, I don't think people realize how much of sort of the flawed heroes came from what Alan Moore did in that book.
But, so you're saying we live in an era of broken fingers and weird sexual issues? Is that what you're saying?
Well, like, you know, Jack Bauer breaks somebody's finger, like, every week on 24. It's like not a big deal anymore.
Yeah,
when Rorschach did it in the book, it was just like, oh, my God, the heroes just don't do that kind of thing.
Yeah, it strikes me that shows like Lost and Heroes probably learned a lot from this. But I want to get to something that you talk about in the article you wrote, which is gender. There are plenty of women who collect comic books, read graphic novels, but there's not always a lot of give and take on what a woman looks like or acts like within the pages of comics and graphic novels. How does this this graphic novel, Watchmen, work with or against those stereotypes?
Well, Watchmen is a really problematic one because at the time I think that it's sort of sending up the very sexual image of superhero girls like Wonder Woman, and I'm trying to think which ones were out about that he's kind of making fun of. Wonder Woman is probably off the top of my head, though. It's kind of problematic because the female characters are very sexualized and very shallow. Like I talked about in my piece, Lori is like maybe one of the least feminist characters you might actually see. I mean, she's very dependent on men. She's very defined by her relationships to the men in the comic. And yet, I think she's kind of remarkable and different than other superhero characters that you might see, because she actually does have a story arc, and she's very human problems. It's the stuff you might see in, like, you know, any chick flick, but it's kind of unusual because you see it in this superhero context of, you know, just mom issues and dad issues and issues with her boyfriend who just happens to be blue and glowing.
You know? Right, happens, yeah, the blue and glowing, that's great. And that's Billy Crudup is going to be playing that character, right?
Yeah. He will be a Dr. Manhattan.
So before we go, though, who's your favorite, Rorschach?
Yeah, actually, it's the comedian. I like the comedian. It used to be Night Owl, but once I read the book a couple more times, I jumped ship.
We won't tell you what happens to the comedian, but we will thank you for your time.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.